Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today, I'm speaking with Andy Williams. He's the co-founder and CEO of Medicine Man Technologies. The stock symbol is MDCL. Andy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, Andy. So, you know, we're going to kind of start off with you've just taken over as CEO. You're the co-founder, but you just taken over from Brett, who passed this week. So I want to offer my condolences to you and the whole team.
Thank you.
And let's you know, kind of start off with you know, a little bit about the company's history, how you and Brett started the company, what was the reasoning behind it, and how you've evolved into the current business model.
Yes. So I actually met Brett, a great man. You know, and I can make this a memorial to Brett. He's a wonderful person, a great leader, and a pioneer in this space. But in 2009, I started a company called Medicine Man in Colorado, which is now a vertically integrated leading cannabis company in Colorado and a very well-known brand in the cannabis space, even around the country. And I met Brett through a real estate deal that I was doing, and Brett was very interested in the cannabis space. He was always fascinated in learning something new, and this was it. So for, I don't know, the first 3 years of our relationship, he would come in and we would talk about business and what was going on, and he would teach me about public markets, et cetera. And one day, and it was about 2013, maybe 2012, he said, you know, you should really think about being a consultant, Andy, because you've got a lot of great IP here. We're doing things in a brand new industry that, you know, were kind of rare, not knowledge that was out there for the easy taking. And, you know, at the time, though, I was watering plants and being the HR person and running the company and doing all kinds of things. And I said, yeah, I'll do that in my spare time, Brett, even though certainly it had entered my mind before. And he said, no. And he said, I'll do it for you. I said, I'll work with you. Or he said, I'll work with you and we'll build the foundation of this together. And I said, let's do it. I really had nothing to lose on this. He wanted a you know, some stock in the deal if we ever went public or part of the company otherwise. And so we built the foundation of a consulting company to help people that had the business acumen, the money and desire to get into the cannabis space, but didn't have the know-how. And we provided that know-how. And so we've had well over 100 clients now, all over the world even. We're working right now in 17 states. We're very good at winning competitive licensure, designing, building facilities, you know, training employees, getting systems up and running, getting people's doors open, helping them get into this space. We've grown as a company since then. But that's how we got into it, just from the whim of a very smart person who said, "Hey, I'll lend you a hand getting this company going."
So, what? Maybe you can get into some details of what are the business lines that you have right now. You have, I believe, 4 or 5 different lines of business.
We do. So we started the company, like I said, only as a consulting company, knowing that we'd want to grow that further from there. Just as a note, we started trading in, I think, January 2015. And so since then, we've added many more professional services lines, from helping people after they're in business who aren't performing as they thought they might and need help in performing better. We go in and help them do better, to managing cultivations and other things. We do ad hoc type consulting for design and pro forma and other little pieces of the process that people are interested in our help with. We have products now as well. We have our own nutrient line that was formulated specifically for cannabis. And I have multiple large cultivations, and I use it in my own facilities. And even though it is my nutrient line, I wouldn't use it if it wasn't the best, because it would cost me too much money. And I do. It's called Success Nutrients. We have a whole lot of other products in through our company called Big Tomato, one of the oldest cultivation supply stores in the country. We've supplied over $150 million of cultivation supply products to cultivators in both the industrial space and the home grower. Of course, we purchased that company last year, but this is something that allows us to service not only our own cultivations but also our clients and the general public and other industry players at large. We have a book called Threolite. We've sold over $1 million worth of copies of that book, and we're on our second edition now. And we have an application, an app that goes with that book, that that both of those are targeted to the home grower and growing at home, because information on how to grow marijuana is still hard to get and, quite honestly, not very reliable a lot of times. And so this provides them with a really definitive source for cultivating at home.
So it seems like you have a lot of synergistic operations. You sell the nutrients. You have the consulting. What let me first ask you on the consulting side. How does that business model work? Do you have recurring revenues? Do you have like participation in profits or like how does that model work?
Yes to all of those, actually. So some of them are just fee based. Some of them we do have participation in profits, and there's only a couple of those, but then also recurring revenue. So for instance, in what we call our Cultivation Max line is where we go help people get better. And here's a, for instance, a client of ours before we were involved with them, were growing about 0.7 pounds of marijuana per light in their facility. And which is it's a poor result. So less than a pound per light of marijuana. And so we said, okay, your baseline will be a pound. And anything that we grow above that, we'll get a small percentage of for 5 years. And so we're growing consistently over 3.5 pounds per light in that facility. And so we get a percentage of that delta. And those are significant revenues. So that's how that works.
Okay. So now you've had some pretty impressive revenue growth, and you're actually quite profitable right now. Can you kind of give us a breakdown of which line of business is bringing the revenues in, where are the opportunities? What's the fastest growing part of your business right now?
Yeah, our business is about to really take off. A couple of things, right? We did really well in the professional services side. Our nutrient line is expanding. Right now we're in the process of registering our nutrient products in all states. Right now we're only in 6 in Canada. Soon we'll be in every state, and then we'll be looking at other global expansion for our nutrient line and increasing our distribution a lot. Let's see. One of the big parts in this last quarter of revenue for us was forming a partnership with a Canadian company called Canada House that also trades publicly under the ticker symbol CHV, or Charlie Hotel Victor, I think D. And they are licensed now to sell our products and services in Canada. And so that came with stock in their company as well as some cash. But we also get ongoing revenue from everything that they sell there that is our intellectual property. And that's going to continue to grow. What I'm most excited about is our recent decision. So Brett, before he passed, was working with me on a transition plan that was actually scheduled to go into effect early next year. And so we've had to accelerate that plan a little bit, but he had a big part in what's about to come, which is our transition from a consulting and products company to a consulting products and operator. So we will be vertically integrated operators in this space early next year.
Okay.
That will change the value proposition for our stock greatly.
What? Essentially, you're going to start growing next year.
We will have cultivations, retail, and processing operations under our umbrella. That's correct.
Okay, it's like a turnkey operation.
It is. We get requests all the time for people that really don't want a consultant. They want an operating partner. And so we're going to pull back some from the helping people get into the business and do it ourselves. But having operating or having partners that want to put up the capital, and a lot of times they bring a lot of business acumen that helps as well, but in relationships. but we're going to be operators in the space. And so, it's almost a fire and forget business investment for our partners in that I'm a successful operator here in Colorado. It's a very tight market, and we're leading this state with a handful of others. Joshua Haupt is another extraordinarily successful operator in the space as part of our leadership team. He's the one that developed the Success Nutrients and the three alight techniques that we use today in our cultivation. There's something going on in Colorado that maybe your viewers don't know about. I've been very involved in the regulation in Colorado and the legislation that's formed. And last year, we got a bill passed that allowed for public company ownership of cannabis companies in Colorado. Well, it passed with large majorities through the House and the Senate of Colorado, but was vetoed by Governor Hickenlooper. This year, we have a new governor that's going into office in early January, Jared Polis, and he has embraced the cannabis industry with both arms and will sign this bill. I believe the bill will be passed in January and signed in early February and effective sometime, I'm hoping by summertime next year, but sometime next year anyway. And when that happens, we are uniquely positioned in Colorado to roll up this industry. I certainly have a lot of businesses here that would love to participate in a roll-up, and I'm very connected in this industry here, not just in Colorado, but nationwide. And there are a lot of operators out there right now who are afraid that if they don't do something now, they're going to miss out on this expansion that's going on in this industry, and the value of their businesses will dwindle, and they'll be back applying for a job when it's all said and done. So there are operators out there waiting to join our team, and we're going to make it happen.
So you see a consolidation opportunity in Colorado, specifically in this regional market.
I do see it in Colorado, but I see it nationwide. I certainly don't have, the company's always said that we're going to be getting into this someday, and I can't say our specific plans, but Colorado has always been a target for us. But we'll be looking at opportunities all over the country.
Okay. So let's back up a little bit. So right now you're generating close to, what is it, $9 million a year or so in revenues from your lines of business?
Yes.
From the
Yes,
consulting growing, not growing, products?
that's correct. This year we'll do over $9 million a year in revenue. That's what we've put out as guidance, and we'll be profitable. And so yes.
Okay. And now, so essentially 2019, you are going to focus, or you're going to get more into the direction of cultivation, retail sales, and consolidation opportunities in the market, in those areas.
That is correct.
Okay. What, can you, well, maybe can you give us some projections in terms of internal growth from your production for 2019? What do you expect to do in next year?
Yeah, I don't think that's appropriate for me to comment on right now. But certainly I would anticipate our growth to accelerate.
Okay, but do you have like a facility already in place to do this?
Medisman Technologies does not. No. There's a lot I can't comment on. I have to
Okay.
be careful what I say here. And so there's we certainly have plans in place,
Okay.
and we certainly have a good idea of what we're going to do next year, and as soon as we can announce it, we will.
Okay. So, we're going to look forward to that. It looks like so far
Yeah.
you've delivered on your promises to date. So, this is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Can you kind of get into, what kind of what are your acquisition criteria? Like, maybe you can get into like your M&A strategy going forward in terms of in the retail or production space or other areas of the market.
Well, yeah, it you really have to look at the country state by state. So there's another law that's coming down the pike at the federal level that I'm on the board of what's called the Cannabis Trade Federation, and we've been working federally to enact law changes, and specifically in the area of 280E, which is the tax penalty that our industry pays in banking. And Cory Gardner and Elizabeth Warren are carrying a bill that is called the States Act. And the States Act will, in essence, federalize cannabis, meaning it'll be treated much like gaming and alcohol will be. If a state passes laws that say they're going to have a cannabis industry, well, it's free from federal interference, and the people participating in that are not breaking federal law. And that's important because 280E, which is a tax code that in essence it says if you are a drug runner, you are not allowed to take federal tax deductions. For instance, the cost of our licenses is called a bribe to a government official in order to pursue criminal activity and not allowed to be deducted. The rents of our retail facilities, advertising, et cetera, cannot be deducted. So our effective tax rate at a retail level is over 80%. And so it's very difficult if you're only a retailer to make money in this industry. The other sides of it, you can deduct COGS for cultivation or processing, but you're not allowed to for retail. And so getting rid of that is going to be a huge boost to this industry. And this bill also has the ability to fix banking. So being able to have access to capital that is not from private equity is going to help this industry grow because it'll be a lot more affordable, more plentiful. Easier to get. And so with those two things in place, you know, we also have to look at the scarcity of product in the state. There's a lot of things that go into what the strategy is for what business operations do we want. But what I really want is the products, the brands that are transferable, because, you know, cultivation is going to become a commodity over time. And, you know, big cultivation facilities are not going to be, you know, indoor facilities, I think, are not going to be where the money is. There's certainly going to be a niche market for very, highly cared for plants. But for the most part, cannabis will be a commodity. And with that, brands and products will survive. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on, is building the best brands, the best products, and of course, delivering all those with great customer service through our facilities. Just like any other business, you have to have great products, great service. You have to have great value that's delivered safely. And customer service is king. That's what is successful on the retail front.
Now you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what do you see as sort of some of the biggest challenges and opportunities, you know, in the space over the next, 12 months, 2019? How do you see the industry shaping?
The industry won't change too much. Certainly it's going to be more profitable with the States Act passing, and it's going to continue to roll up. So the roll-up of this industry certainly started this last year, and it's going to accelerate over time. The big change in this industry that will come down the line is when U.S. markets open up to it. Right now, the OTC, of course, can have marijuana companies, but the NASDAQ and NYSE do not allow it, and the bankers won't support it. But if that banking law can change and the U.S. bankers are now able to participate in it, I think the market shift will go from Canada to the United States, and the roll-up and the concentration will begin here. In addition, I think research is going to take a big role in the cannabis space. Research is relatively untouched in the United States since 1968. And there's a lot of low-hanging fruit in the research industry, and I certainly am looking very hard at that.
By research, do you mean like medicinal?
Yes, clinical trials.
Okay. And also, I think you touched on, brand building.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have plans in place to, create brands, or what's your strategy with that?
Well, keep in mind, I already have created a lot of brands. Medicine Man is a marijuana brand. I own a company called MedFarm, and we have multiple brands of products. And then, some of the things that I might target, would be other big brands, brands that I've enjoyed over time, people that I like in this industry that are, you know, honest and hardworking, that have built great businesses that that have a lot to offer in terms of their brands, and not only that, but their business acumen and industry knowledge and connections. So those are something that that really I have experience doing.
Okay. Now, can you? I think you touched on it briefly, but can you, you know, tell us about, you know, your background and also some of the other, you know, key members of the team?
Yes. So I am an industrial engineer by schooling. I was in the U.S. Army prior to going to college. I have worked in many areas of manufacturing in my life, from heavy rail to printing and collating to data, on a couple of fronts. Electronic warfare was another one. And I worked in those companies in different positions in industrial engineering and leadership. My last position prior to starting Medicine Man was project portfolio manager for a company called Jeppesen, which is a flight aviation company. And I've also been somewhat of a serial entrepreneur throughout my life and had multiple failed businesses before I started Medicine Man. But, you know, an entrepreneur keeps trying and learns a lot of lessons. So, and that's my background.
And what about the other key members of the team?
Other key members of the team: Paul Dickman is our chairman of the board. He has a tremendous amount of public company experience. He has been with me from the start in terms of, he was our initial CFO, helped to take us public. He served as our CFO for a number of years. He is now chairman of the board. We've just hired a new, I can't say that. I'm sorry about that. We have Joshua Haupt, who is an extraordinary operator in this space, that serves as a C-level position with us. He is known as the Steve Jobs of cultivation in the industry, and his last name is spelled Haupt, and any search on him, you'll see article after article about his prowess in cultivation. But he's also tremendous at sales and bringing in deals and things like that. He's just a dynamic person. And then we have a lot of other leaders in our company that are less well known, but are extraordinary in what they do.
Okay, Andy, what's your vision for the company over the next 2-3 years? You know, what will, you know, Medicine Man look like? Is it going to be, you know, mostly focused on production? Are you still going to keep the consulting business? Like, what would the company look like? And maybe if you feel comfortable making some, you know, revenue projections.
I don't feel comfortable making revenue projections right now. I think we have to wait for some announcements for that to happen. But, you know, I do see Medicine Man Technologies being a global leader in the cannabis industry in multiple verticals, certainly in the cultivation and retail, as well as processing space and, you know, making products, whatever. I'm very interested in the research side of it. I've certainly have another company that is doing some work on that side right now, and that's a real passion of mine. I think one of our employees can win the Nobel Prize for Medicine someday, and if not one of ours, somebody in the industry, and it's going to be a fantastic time. There's so much potential with this plant. But I also see other verticals developing. You know, selling picks and shovels to this industry is a great way to, it's a great business. And we have some phenomenal products and some, you know, supply stores that are doing very well, and we're going to continue the growth of those. There are other verticals in terms of technology that I like. And I also like the hemp world. You know, I'm looking at that space a lot right now. And I think there's a lot of crossover between product development on the cannabis side and product development on the hemp side that can be very synergistic.
Okay. And what are some of the key milestones that investors can look forward to in 2019? What do you have coming up that people should keep an eye on?
There was a bill last year called House Bill 1011. There will be another bill written this year. This is in Colorado. That will be, I think, a little bit better bill than that was. That you should look for that passing in January in Colorado and being signed by the new governor. I think important dates in that are going to be the effectivity date that comes along with that bill. And of course, the States Act, you know, watching that bill at the federal level. And, I believe President Trump wants that bill signed, and I think the Democrats want it passed. So that's a nice combination. I believe that's going to pass this year. Those two in combination are going to be great for our company, but they're also going to be great for the industry as a whole. And for our company, I think we're going to be working very aggressively on our transition plan that Brett, our former CEO, helped me to put together along with other people on our team. And that plan is going to be taking effect here shortly. And we'll be making announcements very quickly when that plan has started. So those are the things that I think investors should look out for. I think the good idea would be to buy stock now before we start making our plans come true.
Okay. So on that note, what would you say are the top three reasons investors should take a look at your stock right now?
Well, here's an easy one. Look at our multipliers. In the cannabis space on the OTC markets, I think the average multiplier for a cannabis company is 12. Ours is now at 4. Of course, if you're looking at the CSE, the average multiplier is 72. There's just not very many cannabis companies that have grown in terms of the revenue 7 quarters in a row and showing profitability for 3 in a row. And that's unusual in itself. And so maybe that would be my second reason. There's a lot of these big companies out there right now, and you can make profit on the swings of these things up and down. But we're building a company that's going to stand the test of time, that has bottom line revenue along with the top line revenue. We have proven operators in this space that really know how to compete in very competitive environments, which is something that a lot of states don't have to worry about right now. And we built our company differently. A lot of these big companies started with the money and the desire, and they bought the assets and they're trying to figure out how to make them profitable. We started by building the businesses that are successful, that are industry leaders, and now we're going to take the step and become operators in this space with this now consulting and products company. So there's a lot of big differences there, and we're straight shooters. We're not going to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. We're going to tell you what we're going to do, and then we're going to do it and tell you the results. So I think we're a good investment.
So on that note, I want to thank you, and we look forward to following the Medicine Man story in 2019.
Thank you very much. I look forward to following up with you.